Welcome home, Carissa.
It's so good to be home.
You've been gone for so long.
It was only 2 weeks.
It felt like forever.
It felt like forever to me, too. I got sick multiple times. I'm home.
You're home.
And let's debrief.
Let's do it. I can't wait to hear about everything that went on.
Yeah, for all of you listening, me and Alex haven't had a chance to debrief about these experiences that I've been on, so we just decided to set up the camera.
Let's do it. So this is part one of a two-part?
Carissa Adventure Debrief? I don't know. Yeah. Part one. So maybe we just talk about... So me and Alex went to a wedding. Nice. And then I went to Washington, D.C. for Lobby Day with World Wildlife Fund. And then I went to Aspen Ideas Climate as part of the Aspen Future Leaders cohort in Miami Beach, Florida, and then stayed for the Aspen Ideas Climate Conference, and then I went home.
Sounds like a lot.
It was a lot. but so I think we should just talk about one today.
Yeah, let's just talk about the World Wildlife Fund Lobby Day in Washington, D.C., because that was the first event chronologically.
Yeah, okay, great. And then I don't think we have any updates for the team, hey? What do we have to tell them? Nothing's really going on. Me and Alex are getting married in a month.
Yeah.
I am doing my best to not have a single episode of Sustainability in the Sea, like, be skipped. I know I had to do a re-release for the Value of Climate Conferences, which was about my experience from Aspen Future Leaders last year, my first recap. So go listen to that if you're interested. But there's going to be another one about Aspen Leaders this year coming up shortly. But the point is that we're going to make sure that even though me and Alex are going to try to take a vacation during our wedding and honeymoon,
we'll see how that goes.
Sustainability in the Sea is still going to have the episodes going out. So.
Nice.
Cool. Okay.
So keep listening.
Keep listening. Welcome back to Sustainability in the Sea.
Well, welcome back, Carissa. We're back on our couch.
Our living room studio.
The birds in the background.
I like it. I think it adds a dimension to it.
For sure.
Yeah.
So.
First time in D.C. it was.
Yeah. How was that?
Have you been to D.C.?
I've never been to D.C.
If any future Swellies have been to D.C., let me know.
Or if you live there.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Like, comment on the Spotify.
I was like, I don't know. Okay, wait. Unrelated. Do you guys ever go somewhere and you're like, this is who I would be if I lived here? I was like there for literally 3 days and I was like, the version of me that lives in D.C. would be like this and like just so silly. So silly. Anyway, okay. Yeah, I made it.
So why did you go to D.C.?
Okay, so I am a World Wildlife Fund ambassador, which is incredible and yeah.
You're a panda.
I'm a panda. So let's give some background to World Wildlife Fund for people who don't know. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know what World Wildlife Fund is? They're one of the top three conservation organizations in the world. They work mm-hmm. internationally. They've been doing this for 50 years. They started dealing with endangered species, but now they work in so many different areas.
Yeah.
They do a lot of... and also a lot of the international NGOs like World Wildlife, like CI and TNC, mm-hmm. they do a lot of community-based work now, which is awesome.
Which, yeah,
or they just
super important.
Support the community orgs on the ground.
So. Yeah.
So, yeah, what do you know about World Wildlife Fund?
I feel like I know them based on their panda, their logo.
Yeah.
That's, like, number one.
Iconic.
I, like, remember growing up as a kid, and they had, like, the commercials where it's, like, if you donate, you get all this cool, like, panda swag, like, bookmarks and
all this stuff. Oh, I just got some of that swag.
Oh, perfect.
Wow, finally
get it.
You're right. They did have those commercials.
My parents wouldn't let me donate, so...
Oh my gosh, I'm pretty sure I'm giving money still. yeah, so they have been around forever. Mm-hmm. And so I learned when I was there that they started doing a lobby day 6 years ago, which is where they fly out World Wildlife Fund ambassadors or supporters or members from around the nation to meet with your senators and representatives in Congress about World Wildlife Fund priorities. But you're like there. On behalf of WWF.
Yeah. So, and you're speaking to your individual legislator, correct?
Yeah.
So, like, you talk to the Hawaii legislator.
And that's the whole point is that, like, for those of you that I'm still learning all of this, because at this point, I've only really dealt with state legislation and lobbying, and I've learned really quickly that Hawaii lobbying is totally different than other states. Like, in other states, like, you might not even be able to go into your Capitol building without a meeting. Wow. Like, this is just, like, an open building. We had, like, a rager there on Friday for Ocean Day. So, like, it was just... I feel very lucky to be here and serving communities here. But so it's the same thing there. Like, you can go into the building and there's like security measures, things like that, but you do need to have a meeting to meet with these people. And sometimes you're not meeting. Sometimes you're meeting with the member, the senator, the representative. Sometimes you're meeting with their staff.
What is really the building busy. Called?
The Capitol.
Wow. You went to the nation's capital.
The nation's capital. So we've got the capital of the nation, Washington, D.C., in the District of Columbia. Uh-huh. And then in there, we've got the Capitol...
Building. Cool.
There were buildings everywhere, too. Like, I saw the Washington State Monument. All the museums are free there.
That's super cool.
I know I was trying to go to the Smithsonian, but then it was closed. It was like, ugh, the dagger. I have to go back.
We'll have to go back and actually do a museum-only trip.
My best friend lives there, so we'll be back.
Perfect.
Now. Yeah. But everything's open, and so World Wildlife Fund had so much preparation going into this. It was incredible. So they flew everybody out. They coordinated all of the meetings, and then there was a training day. So they invited me to join, and they've been doing this for 6 years. And this year was the first year that was focused specifically on plastic pollution.
Oh, cool.
So the idea is that, you know, and I think, and I might be oversimplifying this, but pretty much you've got members of Congress, right? You've got senators and representatives. And all day they're being met, like the people they're meeting with are lobbyists. Yeah. Lobbyists are paid for by institutions or organizations or companies to talk to members of Congress about things that are important to them. So, you know, guys, come on, fossil fuel has all the money in the world. They've got their fossil fuel lobbyists in that building. They've got those meetings are being held, like, don't kill small businesses. Like, they're in there, you guys. They are on the ground. I kept being like... is that a fossil fuel lobbyist? But, you know, they're just there. But the point is you can only hire lobbyists if you have money. And so it's very hard for nonprofits to have lobbyists. And so one of the most, the point is so these members are meeting most of the time with lobbyists who are paid by their clients to talk about issues. Mm-hmm. It's very rare, or it's at least more rare, to be meeting with your actual constituent, your actual person.
I bet
person.
It's refreshing for them.
It is. It's actually, I learned... they're the most excited to meet with constituents, which gives you, as a constituent, a person from the district that the representative or senator represents, like, a lot of power. Like, they're like, wow, these are the people we're representing. Like, what's important to them? Uh-huh. Instead of, like, what's important to this lobbyist who's based in D.C. and might not even be from Hawaii. Like, all those things.
Yeah, who's paid to say a certain thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's a little less, I used to think all of this was a bit more insidious. It's really just... this is how it works. So,
okay. So
there are plastic pollution priorities. We flew in. World Wildlife Fund has a beautiful headquarters building. Oh my gosh. Their building was beautiful and they own it, and it was white and there was a giant panda and it's like in the thick of it all and it was gorgeous and walking distance and it was beautiful. And so they invited me to speak on a panel for training day.
Cool. And what was the training day? Like, what are you training on?
So we all arrived and then we go to the World Wildlife Fund headquarters and we get trained up on, you know, the importance of lobby day, how to be effective in your lobbying.
Oh, nice.
WWF's plastic priorities that we were going to be talking about. Okay. There's a panel and lunch, and then we strategize, you know, what our spiel is going to be.
Yeah.
And you guys, like I said, I've only worked in state, and there were a lot of priorities and asks that WWF wanted us to prioritize. And, you know, if we had all the time in the world, we would talk about all of them, but we really needed to find one that was connected to our story. Mm-hmm. So we had a handful. Okay. One of them was... there wasn't an actual bill for it, but to raise awareness about the concept of extended producer responsibility, EPR.
Okay.
You know what that is, right?
Yeah, so it's basically like where the companies are held accountable for their plastic waste.
Right, and we have had it introduced at the state level here in Hawaii, but it hasn't passed. It's passed at like a couple like more environmentally progressive states. Like, I think California has it, or Oregon. I don't want to misspeak, but it's getting more traction, and we just wanted like people at the federal level to like learn more about it. And you guys, like, Hawaii representatives and senators are environmentalists, and they still haven't heard about it. So there's still so much work. Like, I'm in this sustainability plastic pollution bubble where I'm like, everybody knows what EPR is and they don't. And so raise awareness about that. There was no bill. There were two bills that would strengthen recycling infrastructure.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was good. One was to make recycling accessible to more rural communities. Do you know how we lived on Maui and there wasn't really accessibility to a lot of recycling versus like we have more recycling here on Oahu. Yeah. And the other one was a like funding for a pilot case study to look at composting. So both great. Cool.
Yeah.
And on the panel, I was on the panel talking about some of the plastic wins that we've had locally in Hawaii, like Bill 40 that bans single-use plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Also some of the work and programs that have been built with funding for NOAA's Marine Debris Program.
Sweet.
And there was a lobbyist that has worked with World Wildlife Fund for a long time who focuses on passing bipartisan legislation, which sounds like the hardest job of all time.
I'm like, yeah.
How do you get people to agree? And she was like, look, I know we think these recycling bills are low-hanging fruit, but mm-hmm. if we can't pass these recycling bills, there's no way we're going to pass something big like EPR. So we need to figure... we need to take incremental steps forward with these recycling bills, so talk about them.
Cool.
That was one. And then also, like, which is what I ended up sticking to. So, okay, so we did the training. We learned about the priorities. There was an EPR hearing that WWF had provided some expertise on. And I think now that I'm a little bit more navigated in this policy world, is like, these representatives and senators got like a million issues.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what...
Yeah, they don't know every detail for sure.
They don't know every... they just know what people talk to them about. Mm-hmm. Which is why if you have the money to have a lobbyist to talk to them about the issue, they're more likely to know what's happening when there's a hearing around it.
Yeah.
And so they had like an informational hearing around EPR and WWF testified, which I thought was really cool. That was like
super cool.
On the training
day. Did you get to go like listen on that, or how does that work?
It's like streamed.
Oh,
and
nice.
So we got to like look at the stream like after, from the training. Yeah, cool. From the training day. So one of the big asks is... NOAA has a marine debris program. It's small in Hawaii, but, you know, it gets money from the federal giant country budget. That budget, it takes a long time to decide on, which is why we always hear about the government shutting down, because they can't decide on the budget. And in that budget, maybe there's a line item for NOAA's marine debris program.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it is with so many federal programs.
Yeah, with all federal programs, really.
And that money changes a lot. And so one of the asks was to ask for next year's budget, because they're like still delaying this past year. I think they agreed, whatever.
I think they just agreed.
They agreed while I was there.
Nice.
It was crazy. It was so busy in the Capitol because they were like, we got a lot going on right now, like, with the budget. And I'm like, yeah, it's... March, like,
yeah,
why haven't you figured it out?
A little late, that's okay.
So part of the goal was to ask Congress to give money to NOAA's marine debris program.
Mm-hmm.
Because what ends up happening with the NOAA marine debris program, it ends up getting turned into requests for proposals, grant
money
application gets submitted, and then what happens, community nonprofits end up actually taking that money and going and implementing solutions local to their space.
Doing the work,
And I was like, this is what I'm going to focus on. I had built in 2019, the first underwater marine debris removal program on Oahu focused on fishing line with that funding.
Yeah.
They had like a ton of funding. Also, we know Nicole and team at Zero Waste Oahu built Full Cycle Takeout with that funding on the North Shore, which is basically where...
it's like reusable takeout.
If you get takeout, you get it in a reusable container and then you return it. I talked about Center for Marine Debris Research talking about their nets to roads, where they're taking derelict fishing gear and turning it into road.
Yeah, concrete and asphalt.
Yes. And then I also talked about what was CMDR's other... Oh, the bounty program.
Oh, nice.
Which is, how would you explain that?
Basically, they're paying fishermen or fisher people to collect floating nets and derelict gear in the ocean.
And they get, like, a certain amount of dollars per pound.
Yeah, per pound.
And, like, these derelict gear is going to be, like, $500. The point is, it's like, it's worth the fisher's time to clean the ghost net out because they're going to get paid for it.
I actually just talked about that with someone last night, which is cool.
Are they participating in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was like, these personal stories with organizations that I admire and work with locally are what I should be showcasing.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
makes sense.
I... pivoted a little bit, yeah. I did that. But so we met with all of my representatives.
Nice.
We met with their staff, and then Representative Jill Takuda actually joined.
Oh, cool. That's like a big deal, because typically when you really talk to representatives, you talk to their staff.
Who are like our age.
Yeah, their staff takes a bunch of notes and then kind of gives the representatives the spark notes, right?
Yeah. But, you know, you guys, okay, I was on a team. So it was me, a WWF staff member, and then Jamie, a new friend who is from Florida, and we were like the coastal crew.
Nice.
And so... we would go from like a meeting with a Hawaii member staff to like a meeting in Florida, and it was
a little bit different. I bet
they were kind of different, but there were some really big takeaways.
Okay,
like one. Okay, so I was in an echo chamber with my representatives. They all get it. Yep. They were like, we spent a lot of time talking about like how are you actually going to engage, like how are you going to get people over the edge, like,
uh-huh.
who don't agree with this, and then we also talked a lot about these programs. They were extremely fascinated with the bounty program. I would say
cool.
that's like the best one.
Oh,
and then
sweet. That's awesome.
Oh, and two of them, so we were like, hey, we're asking for like, you know, $15 million to NOAA's marine debris program, and they're like, oh, we already made the request, it's 20, we requested 25. And I'm like, okay, so
nice,
like, you like get it.
Yeah.
And Senator Schatz, who I have admired so much with his leadership with environmental work and also with like advocating for federal funding to support Lahaina community members, like his staff were so incredible. And
oh, cool.
they were just like, they were young. There was a marine policy fellow
oh,
that
nice.
Was placed there, and they were just excited. And it felt so much more like a dialogue and not
uh-huh.
like talking at you and or you're talking at them and then they're nodding and whatever.
Yeah.
But
which sometimes is the case.
Yeah. Our Florida meetings were also very effective,
oh.
which, and it was so great to watch, because I was just quiet in those, right? Like, I'm not the constituent.
Yeah.
And it was so great to watch how like folks from Florida's like connection to water and environment is the pathway to environmental change there.
Cool.
Because like they were like, water is the lifeblood of Florida.
Yeah,
like,
I bet there's like swamps and oceans and
everyone's
lakes and
a
rivers
boater,
everywhere.
Everyone's
yeah.
a fisher. Everyone gets it, right? And they're like, we don't want our waters to be waters represent our part of our heritage. Like
mm-hmm.
we're not going to harm them. And then the other thing was that it just goes to show who should be the messenger. Like one representative or senator is like far more open to talking about plastic because he was educated through a personal relationship on plastic being in our fish and that
oh, yeah.
we're eating it. And he was like, oh my gosh, we're eating it? Like, and they're like, yeah, and here are the health impacts. So the health impacts are such a powerful messenger for
mm-hmm.
folks that might not be environmentally motivated as much.
Yeah. I feel like it's all about finding connections too. It's like, you kind of like talk to them a little bit. What do they care about? And then like, oh, I'm going to relate that to plastic or whatever
yeah.
your goal is.
And we'll talk about this in the Aspen Ideas episode, but they were saying that like 85% of people believe climate change is a threat to them.
Okay.
So instead of focusing on the 15%,
uh-huh.
like there's no need to focus on that. Instead, you should just focus on how climate action will actually benefit them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that now, because it's like, you don't need people to understand the science. You just need them to know that, like, they might have a lower electricity bill if they
yeah.
switch to solar. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. How it affects them personally.
And your energy, especially, like, is so valuable
mm-hmm.
that, like, you shouldn't be fighting these uphill battles.
Yeah.
And
totally.
So the health is, you guys listening, if you are talking to people who are not getting it, talk about the health. We're eating one credit card of plastic a week. It's in breast milk. It's in our placentas. It's in our bloodstreams. We're eating it in fish. It's being linked to adverse effects of our health associated with our endocrine system and our hormones. It can be linked to reproductive issues. Like, I'm sorry, but the reproductive method is such a good talking point.
Yeah.
And so that was another Florida meeting we had was, Jamie's such a great advocate. She was like, you know, it's unacceptable. Or she was like, it's in our breast milk. Like, it's in our babies.
Uh-huh.
Like, and it's in our placentas. And the guy was like, that is unacceptable. And we were like,
it is. Yeah.
Like, it is. And so, and then we're like, can you have this better recycling infrastructure bill instead of like, can
yeah.
we actually, yeah.
Yes, just slide that in there.
Yeah, but like, we did have a really good conversation about how, because I don't know if you all listening know this, but with the mass adoption of electric vehicles happening, the fossil fuel company is offsetting profit losses associated with that, with gas, through producing more plastic and ramping up plastic production, because all your plastic's made from oil and fossil fuels.
They're all related, unfortunately.
It's all related. So plastic crisis is a climate crisis, is the ocean crisis. And we were talking about how, like, really, the petrochemical company is going to ramp up their lobbying efforts in DC, in the capital, because especially if bills start coming out that are not focused on recycling, if they're focused on EPR, if they're focused on stopping source production of plastic, because that is the direct threat to profit, to their profits.
Yeah.
And we need to, like, we need to be prepared for that fight, because it's going to be a gnarly one.
Jeez. Sounds like a lot. How many representatives did you talk to total? Like
three.
Nice.
We have three.
From just Hawaii, though.
I have three. Yeah.
And then you also talked to some Florida ones.
And the Florida folks. Yeah. So we had six meetings.
Cool.
Throughout the day.
Sounds like a lot in one day.
And I was the only one who had a member join me, and it was so great. And I had to miss the celebratory reception after, but that's fine.
Worth it.
Yeah, it was a great. So then Anti-Representative Jill Takuda comes out, and she's like, oh my gosh, so sorry I was late. I was on the phone with FEMA. I'm like, you are doing the Lord's work for Maui now. Like, thank you. Important. And then she's like, she just was like, this is how I'm going to, like, this is what we need to do right now. She's like, the political will, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's just so crazy how the ability for a representative or a senator to get things done is directly directly correlated to their relationships that they have, which is why having, like, a senator in Congress for, like, 15 years, like, they get more power. So, anyway, it's just hard when you're in new, like, even if you think about, like, you listening, if you want to, like, go on to be a politician, like, you don't actually get power until, like, massive amounts of time is, which comes with, like, you know, winning elections and all this stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Do you have any questions about policy? I thought it was extremely motivating and inspiring. Everyone had a really... We had a great time.
That's fun. Yeah, like, yeah. What were your, like, key takeaways? Because sometimes policy and politics in general can just feel, like, weighted and heavy, but, like, you've come away feeling like...
I think I'm in an echo chamber. I feel like, one, that I... Oh, Riley. My first takeaway is that lobby days are extremely important.
Do they have, like, multiple a year? How does that work?
Yeah, like, Surf Rider has a lobby day.
So each organization, like, has their own?
If you have the resources and funds, like, cool. It's not always that common. Or, like, there's, like, a healthcare lobby day, and, like...
Sweet.
You know, you wear your shirts and your notice and stuff like that. But I feel like it was, they were listening. They were listening because we were a constituent. And nice. So the messenger really matters. And if you're not able to go to DC and participate with a lobby day or whatever, videos and short stories, like, the messenger matters. And what WWF kept reminding us, which I feel like I know from our experience here, is your personal story is the best testimony you can give. It's the best conversation you can have, because WWF can brief the staff on the technical policy elements all day long, but you flew here to tell your personal story. And Jamie's personal story was, she's a scuba diver and she keeps seeing the water quality like go down in her favorite dive site, and she's concerned, and she saw plastic.
Yeah.
And, like, my story is, like, we walk on Kailua Beach and we see microplastics with even the smallest amount. This is a global problem. Mm-hmm. And just that personal story is so important. It can be shared via video. It can be shared via email. It can be shared via a voicemail that you leave, and it can be shared in person.
That's so awesome. So, like, can a constituent just, like, schedule a meeting with their representative, or, like, do you have to be a WWF or an organization to be able to get those meetings?
So I think you can make a request.
So, like, if someone is like, oh, I'm going to DC this summer for a vacation or a school trip or something, could they theoretically
yes
schedule a meeting?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Everyone schedule their meetings.
I know, I was like, do we organize, like, a future swell ocean lobby day? No, but I think it's, you know, you have to have the relationships, you have to have the right emails, you have to be dropping in. That's why it's so important to have
a presence.
Boots on the ground and a presence in the building. Which is what I was told last year, that I was like, oh, are you sure? Like, it was like, you need to be holding it down physically in the building.
Mm-hmm. At all times, it sounds like. Of the year, at least.
Well, the more you are, the more recognizable you have. And also, same, you guys, it just goes to show that everything's relationships. It's like, yeah, my friend who I went to school with, who's now in DC working, like, DC's so small and everybody knew each other. And it's just like, yeah, you call your friend and you ask what's up. So Once a panda, always a panda. I'm a World Wildlife Fund ambassador. I hope this is the first of many lobby days. It was so beautiful.
That's so cool.
If anyone listening ever gets a chance to go, go send it, inconvenience yourself. It was awesome.
That's awesome. So let's talk about three key takeaways from what you learned.
Well, one of my first takeaways was that your personal story is the best testimony.
Personal story, I love it. What else?
The people in that building are doing their best.
Okay.
With the worldview that they have.
Yeah.
There's a lot of high turnover with staff. So maybe you like made a relationship with staff members and then next year there's not.
I bet it's a demanding job.
It's very low paying and high demanding. And so it's young people usually.
Okay.
So, but the people in those buildings are doing their best. It doesn't matter if they're from a red state or a blue state. Like they're doing their best with the worldview that they have and they only know what they're being taught or told. And so you need to be there teaching and telling them. They're our public servants. And I think we were reminded at Pili Nokanaloa, like, these buildings are for us. And so, but if we're not there, how can these elected officials make decisions if they're not being informed by the people? Mm-hmm. They're not scouring social media, you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess now maybe they are a little bit more. But like...
Still less so. They have a busy day, I'm sure.
Dude. Yeah, they're just running from place. They're just keeping their head above water.
Nice.
And third is that tapping into networks and expertise and incredible people like World Wildlife Fund can teach you so much.
That's
like
awesome.
That training day was so helpful for me. Like, I was so overwhelmed. I was like, how am I just going to go to a federal lobby day? Like, I don't know anything about federal legislation and how it's passed. And they just supported you and they were like, this is it. And then they were like, and now make it your own. Here's, and like, having an organization as awesome as that believe in the personal stories of constituents is like, really gives me a lot of hope.
Cool.
There's also a ton of climate protests going on there, and I was like, oh, dope.
That's cool. That's cool. So basically, go sign up to try to be a WWF ambassador. Panda.
So. Yeah, and to start, just like, you know, are you registered to vote? I'm just going to like put that in the episode notes. It's like probably the most important bare minimum thing that we could be doing for our climate at this point. We got a really big election this year, guys. Really big. We'll determine the fate of our ability to respond to the climate emergency. Vote down ballot. What's voting down ballot, Alex?
Voting down is voting for everything, not just the big
Your neighborhood tickets. Board matters. Yep. Your House representative matters. Mm-hmm. You really need to know.
Yeah, it's not just presidency. It's everything else.
It's actually, that should be the last thing that you vote for. As far as level of importance, well, okay, I don't know.
Maybe this year, not so much, but vote down ballot.
Down ballot, folks. Thanks for listening, guys.
We'll see you next time on Sustainability in the Sea.